This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Stella Ray Herself podcast. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. This is the first week, to me at least, that it is really feeling like spring. It's been sunny a couple days. It's definitely warming up. That's not to say it won't get cold again at any point, but it's making me so excited. And I was just reflecting on past years. I have heard this as well, like other cultures, their new year is in the spring or closer to spring, like Chinese New Year, for example, rather than January 1st. And I feel like that is so true. I feel like the new year really starts in the spring. And just looking back at so many past years, I feel like March specifically, not that it's March yet, but it is coming up. I always feel like in March, so much shit happens and it's always like a turning point of some kind. Like literally thinking back to every year, it's like that's when the year really starts. I feel like winter, like especially that after the holidays winter, it's just kind of like an in-between period. Yeah, you know, I reflect on the year and I do the whole New Year's thing. Obviously, if you guys listen to this podcast, especially you know that, but it's like the year doesn't start until spring and we're really coming up to that. So I'm excited, y'all. This is a great time of year to do things like go to the dentist, go to the doctor, get your hair cut, get a wax if that's something you want to do. Maybe start the tan routine, I don't know. And yeah, I've just really been thinking about what I want to do this year. Obviously, there's big goals, but also just little things, maybe even little trips I want to take, and just how I want even like small holidays to go and things like that. Because it's really crazy. I don't know if this is cliche or not, but years really do fly by. And then when you look back at it, it's like an entire year of your life, you know? Oh, like when I was 22, like this is what I did on 4th of July. This is what I did for my birthday that year. This is what I did that summer or whatever. That's the year I finally tried this thing I've been wanting to try for so long. It's like, unless you do it today, like you have to do it today. Like not literally today, but it's like you have to start now. And I do feel like a lot of the time, myself included, we are almost waiting for life to start or waiting to have that feeling of like, okay, now like I'm ready or now I can do that. Now I'm allowing myself to do that. But you really have to take as much advantage as you can, you know, obviously within reason and financial reason, especially in ASAP. There's that quote, how we spend our days is how we spend our life. Like, kind of hate that, especially with imposter syndrome. It kind of ties into that too. I saw this quote I keep thinking about from a meme dump on TikTok. Don't even remember the context of the meme, what kind of meme it was, but the message was like, stop waiting until you're ready, you know, quote unquote ready. There's so many people already doing what you want to do with way less experience and whatever, but just because they're doing it, you know, they're going to be ahead. Just start, like start scared, start before you feel ready. And I think that's so important to remember as well. So anyway, just some things on my mind as we finally approach spring. Again, not that it's spring yet, but we're getting there. One of the main things I wanted to talk about today is this concept of, or trend almost, of de-influencing. This is a trend I'm sure some of you guys have seen on TikTok, but it's basically where people will go through products that they have tried or even recent trends and just say, you don't need this, don't buy that. And it's kind of the opposite of a lot of traditional influencer culture, which is very much like buy that, sponsored by this, use my code, which like same, you know. But honestly, do y'all remember on OG beauty guru or not TikTok, YouTube, there was favorites videos obviously, but then there would also be videos of like products I would not repurchase. So I think de-influencing goes a little further back than we may think. It may not have been called that, but the concept was definitely there. I think this is a really great trend because there is obviously so much overconsumption in our world, and I think especially on social media, and especially I think since the rise of TikTok, there's so many micro trends, and I mean Instagram too, it all contributes. I really think it is a side effect of consumerism and capitalism. We base our worth and we base our social status on what we have, our possessions, how much money we have, what we are able to afford. And I think social media really magnifies that because you can kind of present your life however you want. So it adds this extra layer of like, oh, if I have these like new trendy things, if I'm always on top of everything, on top of every trend, every viral product, people are gonna know that I'm trendy and therefore worthy. So I think it is really important to take a step back from that and just in general, like not to participate in these micro trends. And especially on TikTok, there's so many viral products. Like, bro, this annoying ass cup, y'all know the cup I'm talking about. I never saw a video about this cup. It was always like people critiquing the cup. People are so obsessed with this cup and it leaks. Like, I really don't get the point of it. And people were like putting their Starbucks ventis in this, but like literally putting the Starbucks cup in this cup. You don't need this cup. It was a very useful cup that would be of use for a long time and like had benefits. Like, it didn't leak and it kept your drink cold for like over 24 hours and like, I don't know, things like that would make sense, but I don't even think it does those things. Why are people so obsessed with it? Like, just because it holds a lot and you can fit it in your car? I don't know. But anyway, that's just an example. I see a lot of people talking about how the mini Uggs are a trend, but like, I really love my mini Uggs. Okay, I've gotten a lot of wear out of them. I don't regret that purchase, honestly. But for some people, you know, that might be something they wear a couple times and then never wear again. This is an article from firstpost.com. In de-influencing videos, people are critical and often roast viral products that have not worked for them. The trend is a sign of growing backlash to overconsumption. De-influencers claim to be honest, cutting out the noise and giving you what's real. Many see it as a new way for creators to be authentic. And then this is what I was kind of saying a second ago, but TikTok has encouraged the habit. And I think it's before TikTok. It's even before social media. I just think these things have amplified it. But TikTok has encouraged the habit of collecting items just to show the world that you are up to date and can afford things. We're also getting into that recession core, you know? All these dupes, you know? People going back to their natural hair color, but making it trendy. People are hurting. Like, groceries are so expensive. Shit is so expensive. And so it really is giving recession core. No, but for real, like, I think it's, I mean, obviously a recession is not great, but I think it's great that people are making these things trendy. And where I was going with that also is like do-it-yourself beauty things. I think that really started from the pandemic. I see so many girls dyeing their own hair, learning how to cut their own hair, learning how to do nails is a huge one, learning how to do their lash extensions, learning how to wax at home. And I think that's great in general, you know, just because I think especially if you're just, you know, a regular person, it's not like you're a celebrity on screen all the time, you know, we still want to feel like a baddie, but why would I spend hundreds of dollars per month to do that? Let me learn how to do it myself. I think that's a great tool to have. So I would really recommend being mindful of your spending habits. I'm going to talk about this in an upcoming video, but I have started the past couple months keeping track of which days I even spend money, and I have a calendar where I will highlight the days that I don't spend money. I'll write down no spend. And then on the days where I do have to spend money, I will write down what I purchased and what it was for. And that's just been a great kind of visual, fun way to keep track. And it's cool to see how many days out of the month you highlighted and didn't spend any money that day. So yeah, I'm gonna make a video just about ways to stay organized and stuff. But that's been really helpful. And if you are someone who, like, you know yourself and you know that you have a habit of buying stuff you don't need, compulsive shopping, really wanting to stay on top of trends and stuff, just be mindful of that. Look into other ways to kind of soothe that craving, which would probably honestly just be nervous system regulation. And if you have any experience with that, like with overcoming shopping addiction or just even being in the habit of like always wanting to buy something, leave your tips for us down below. Somebody asked me to talk about friendship breakups and also how to keep friends as an adult. I first wanted to touch on outgrowing friends. I think it's really important to normalize, like in ourselves but also in society, friendship breakups and even just friendships growing apart. I read this article actually from the TED Talk website. It said, with a partner, we wonder if they're going to be the one. But with friends, we assume they're the one from the minute we establish that we like each other. Friendships, like any relationship, sometimes aren't meant to be. And even if they are, maintaining them takes real work. I feel like sometimes in our society, we really prioritize the longevity of a friendship rather than, you know, is this friendship still healthy for me or as healthy as it was, you know, a few years ago? That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt, but sometimes time is not the best indicator of whether or not you should stay in a relationship, whether it be a friendship or a romantic partner. I feel like especially with friends, you know, it's like, oh, well, we've been friends for this long. Like, I could never like not be friends with them. And it's like, sometimes it's actually better if you do let that person go. This is from evolvetreatment.com, but they have a list of things to look for if you're wondering if you should end a friendship. You're anxious about certain and friends and what they think of you. You're the only one to make plans or put in effort. Spending time together feels draining. You disagree about core values. They regularly cancel plans and you no longer connect like you used to. You may be in a toxic friendship if they don't keep your secrets, talk about you behind your back, get mad when you set boundaries, embarrass or make fun of you, lie to you, or make you feel bad about yourself. With all of this being said, I feel like as I have grown up and learned about setting boundaries and just like realizing, oh, like this is why me and that person didn't stay friends, you know, it has made me almost super vigilant, and you almost want to not uphold everyone to this really high standard, but it's like you're really careful about who you, you know, let into your life and become friends with. But with that being said, you can also have friendships of different layers of depth, or like of different depths. Not everyone has to be your best friend that you tell everything to and that is your confidant. And I think that's important too, you know. Some people, you know, you just see when you go out, and that's fine. Like, that doesn't mean, oh my god, like I only want good relationships around me. Like, obviously if someone is literally toxic, cut them out of your life. But like, just because not everyone is your best friend doesn't mean you need to unfollow them on IG or something. The most important thing is, and I'm sure a lot of you already know this, is to pay attention to how you feel while you're with somebody and also after. If you do feel really drained, and if you just catch yourself thinking certain things like, I wonder if they are talking about me, I wonder if they told their friend that thing I told them not to tell anyone, pay attention to that, you know, and really trust your intuition. As far as how to break up with a friend, especially if you start realizing like, oh, this person's really toxic, it really depends. Like, obviously, I feel like it's a little almost easier if someone does something super fucked up to you, because then you have a reason to be like, oh, well, you did this, you really hurt me, like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But if it's like your own thing, like you just kind of start noticing like, huh, every time I'm with them, I feel really drained. They only talk about themselves, or I notice these little comments, you know, where they're just kind of putting me down. I feel like at a certain point, it's not even worth your energy to be like, hey, it really hurt my feelings when you did this. If they've demonstrated that they're not the type of person to hear you or to want to make a change. So it's like, you just have to kind of start distancing yourself in some situations. Say no to plans. Start, you know, not texting them as much, not answering their calls. And also it depends, like sometimes that might be passive aggressive, but there's really situations where sometimes you just have to save your energy and like move on, and it's not even worth a conversation. But yeah, I think the most important thing, like I feel like we always talk about, is to set boundaries. And even with dating, with new friends, whatever, if you've been through a really hard friend breakup or gotten your heart broken or something, it can be kind of hard to trust people again. But when you know that you have strong boundaries in yourself and you can trust yourself to have your body tell you how it feels around somebody, you know when something's off.
I know there's people out there that are the right fit for me.
As far as keeping friends as an adult, which I thought this was a super interesting topic because I feel like people often want to talk about how to make friends. As far as keeping friends, I think one of the main things is to be real. Like, if this is someone that you really value in your life, it's important to speak up, you know, if they say something that hurts your feelings or whatever the case may be real, you know.
And like I've told you guys before, that is always a really good test of what kind of friend they're going to be, how they're able to handle conflict and apologize and things like that.
I've had friends who I have had for a really long time because we have been through so much shit together. We've had arguments, but throughout it all, like, our friendship still remain strong. And I do think it takes both sides as well, you know, like both people have to be willing to do that.
You could literally be like the best, most perfect friend, but if the other person is shitty, like, it's not gonna work.
Be willing to speak up if there's an issue, because it's gonna be worth it in the end. And I also think the most important thing about maintaining friendships, or, you know, the second most important maybe, as far as like how to act around the other person, just remembering shit, showing up for people, and being thoughtful. I feel like little things really go a long way. And, you know, I have like all my cancer placements, so I always be like thoughtful, I feel. And this does not mean going above and beyond for every single person you consider a friend, because bitch, if you have problems with boundaries, if you are an overfunctioner, it is probably likely that you attract or have attracted underfunctioners. So, you know, the classic example is you do so much for everybody else's birthdays. You go above and beyond. Oh my god, I just want them to have a good birthday. But then, like, nobody does anything for you on your birthday. So this is not to say go above and beyond for everybody and anybody, but it is like, you know, be thoughtful, do little things. If you don't get that energy back, you know, don't give it out. But as far as maintaining a friendship with somebody that you know is like a worthy person for you to give that to, I do think it's the little things that matter. And just like keeping in touch. I mean, some people have friends that they don't talk to for months and months, but then they get together and it's like no time has passed at all. And that's great and stuff. But I do think, you know, checking in once in a while is important, and especially, you know, checking in with only the intention of checking in and seeing how someone's doing. Have y'all ever had a friend where they only hit you up when they needed something, or they would pretend like they were interested in how you were, but really it was like, oh, also I wanted to like ask you for this information, or if you could do this for me, or like, and then it's annoying too, because it's like, as a friend, you want to be there for someone, but it's like, you're not treating me like a friend, so why would I treat you like a friend? None of that is to fear when you have strong boundaries and you trust yourself. If something feels off, I trust myself to remove myself from the situation or to speak up. I think it's really important to have friends with similar or the same values as you, so therefore it's important to know what your own values are. I feel like the pandemic brought out a lot of shit in certain friendships for me, and I know for other people, just seeing like who took that shit serious and who did not give a fuck, and just seeing people that I thought I was on the same page with about shit not do any of those things, not want to get vaccinated, it does matter. And that's why I don't get like, it's not like I'm having, I don't know, a political debate with my friends every time I see them, but I think it does come down to values. It's like people would be like, oh, come out, and it's like, no, I'm not gonna like go to your little like germ party, like what? And then people like pout because you don't want to go to their COVID party. It's like, what? I don't think we're on the same page here. A huge part of maintaining healthy boundaries is realizing that it's okay to have different levels of connection with each other within a group. You can feel very close to some people. Others only enter your life because they're friends with your friends. So yeah, those would be my tips or my advice as far as that goes. Let me know if you would add anything to that. And of course, if you are mourning a friendship, because that's really, that makes sense too, you know, you can know a friendship is toxic or just not for you anymore and still mourn, you know, the good times. Of course, it's important to journal. It's important to get in your body. That could look like going for a walk, working out, doing yoga, and just letting yourself feel, you know, if you want to cry, cry. Don't like shame yourself. Oh, this is so stupid. You know, they're not good for you. And that goes for romantic relationships too, you know, if you need to cry, cry, you're gonna feel better. And I think another important thing to remember is just because you, and this again goes for both friendships and relationships, but just because you miss somebody is, that's not an indicator that you should hit them up or reallow them into your life. Trust yourself that they're out of your life for a reason. And again, maybe do some journaling about why you think you are missing them, what about them are you missing, and see how you can incorporate those things into your life without hitting up this toxic person. Oh my god, this has also been kind of a TikTok trend. I just made a TikTok about it because this topic was on my mind. But did y'all ever have like a super codependent friend who acted like you guys were like almost in a relationship? It's like you couldn't do anything without like that person, to the point where it's like toxic and horrible. Bro, we don't need to be texting every hour. Yeah, I like to text my friends, but not like to the point where I'm exhausted. I feel like that's a very like high school thing, but then it's like, it's not, because these girls will be like full women and then like acting like that. So have strong boundaries within yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
The last thing I wanted to talk about today is Pisces season, which is coming up on Saturday the 18th. Let me know if you are Pisces. How does it feel to be a Pisces? If you're not a Pisces, let me know your thoughts on Pisces. There was literally a period of my life where every person, every relationship was like a Pisces. Like every guy I talked to, every close friend I had, everyone was a Pisces.
This is from womeninhome.com, Pisces season 2023. We are flowing out of the revolutionary energy of Aquarius season and into the dreamy oasis of Pisces season. It is a season of imagination, dreaming, being creative. So it is a really great time to connect with yourself, your inner creativity, to really pay attention to your dreams, start a dream journal. A mutable water sign ruled by the dreamy planet of Neptune, Pisces embodies feeling through the expression of art, poetry, romanticism, fantasy, and other unworldly activity. Haha, Shadi got that unworldly activity. Pisces want to bring beauty, compassion, and magic into the world in order to heal, inspire, and bring transformation. Pisces is ruled by the 12th house, which is the house of the unconscious, kind of under the surface. So it's a great time also to do some serious, deep, and transformative, life-changing work. Valentine's Day is a great prelude to Pisces season. And yeah, I would say just really focus on creativity, being in nature. My thoughts on Pisces though, well, y'all know I love my water signs. I like the creativity. I do think a lot of Pisces guys, like, very fun, very romantic, but like delusional. Sometimes when I'm talking to a guy, like, and we're like on FaceTime before bed or something, I'll be like, oh, like, will you tell me a bedtime story? And just like from their response, I feel like it tells a lot. It's like, do they get uncomfortable? Do they give me a half-assed story? Are they like, do they just ignore me? Ignore the request? But I just always remember this one Pisces guy literally made up like this like beautiful fairy tale where like I was a princess in it, and it was like literally exactly what I wanted. Like, he literally made up a full bedtime story, and it was just a very like Pisces moment, in my opinion. Like, he was really channeling his inner creativity. Like, that was a good use of Pisces energy. So yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on Pisces, and let me know your thoughts on anything we discussed today. Don't forget to follow the IG at Stellaray Podcast. There's so many new graphics every week. It really is like separate content, and I'm so proud of it. I think the page looks so cute. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to share, write a review on Apple Music, honestly, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.